participating retailer or sign up for a free collection box for your work. Visit cartridges.planetart.org.
I'm Sarah Warmby. Prime Minister Scott Morrison has condemned violent extremist Islam and says religious leaders need to call out radicalism after a deadly terror attack on Melbourne's Bourke Street. Hassan Khalif Shia Ali, who was known to authorities for his radical views, parked a four-wheel drive laden with gas cylinders on Bourke Street on Friday and stabbed three men, one fatally. Meantime, Melbourne's African community has condemned the actions of the Bourke Street attacker. Kay Farah from the African Australian Alliance says it's a despicable crime.
The entire African Australian community is shocked and deeply saddened. We stand united in condemning the abhorrent and the despicable act in Bourke Street. We condemn it with the strongest terms possible.
Michael Daly has addressed New South Wales voters and pitched himself as the next Premier in his first public comments since he was elected as Labor's new leader. The Maroubra MP has outlined his priorities ahead of the March election following his promotion to the top position yesterday afternoon when he won 33 of 45 votes in a caucus meeting after Luke Foley resigned amid sexual harassment allegations. Mr Daly beat out contender Chris Minns, who claimed 12 votes, while Penny Sharp was the only nominee for deputy leader and was picked to replace Mr Daly, who previously held the deputy position. Mr Daly said his policy priorities would be reducing road tolls in Western Sydney, driving down energy bills through the growth of renewable energy, providing jobs to the suburbs and regions of New South Wales, and making Sydney more livable. An 11-year-old boy has been killed while fishing after a creek bed collapsed beneath him in New South Wales Central West. Emergency services were called to a property on Mitchell Highway at Molong, about 35 kilometres northeast of Orange, just after 2 yesterday afternoon, following reports of the collapse. Police were told three boys had been fishing on the creek bed when it collapsed. An 11-year-old boy was treated for critical injuries but died at the scene, while the other two boys were not injured. Also in news, a woman in Western Australia has appeared in court accused of killing her grandmother back in 2012. One of the key commemorations to mark 100 years since the end of the First World War has taken place in Compiègne, north of Paris. The French President Emmanuel Macron and the German Chancellor Angela Merkel were at the memorial at the place where the armistice was signed in 1918. The BBC's Mark Lowen.
It was here in this clearing in the train carriage of Marshal Ferdinand Foch where the French and British and German delegations signed that armistice, which came into effect at 11 a.m. the same day. It's also where, 22 years after that, Adolf Hitler came to demand the surrender of France in the Second World War. And what a difference, of course, since the last time that a German Chancellor visited this site 78 years ago in 1940.
Briefly, wildfires continue to burn in northern and southern California, having already killed at least 9 people and forced hundreds of thousands to flee their homes. And the Turkish president says recordings of the killing of a journalist have been sent to Saudi Arabia, the US, the UK, Germany, because rain made it impossible to arrange transport. This is Air News. The Australian cricket team are gearing up to take on South Africa in today's series decider in Hobart after Friday night's 7-run one-day win against the Proteas. Former captain Michael Clarke says the current leaders need to take control.
Take control of your team. It's the Australian cricket team, sir. It's not your team. It's the Australian cricket team. Take control of that. And I think they've got to fight to keep the same team as consistently as possible. Go hard if they have to at times against the selectors to fight for a player.
The Australian women's sevens team has won the Oceania Rugby Sevens Championship, defeating New Zealand 14-10 in a thrilling final at ANZ Stadium in Suva. In the men's championship, Australia left opportunities out on the park, finishing in fourth place after going down to New Zealand in the Cup semi-final and Samoa in the third place playoff. And former Socceroos Archie Thompson and Mark Bosnich have called for a ban on a spectator ejected from an A-League game in Mudgee for reportedly racially abusing Brisbane goalkeeper Jamie Young. The alleged incident occurred at Glenwillow Sports Stadium, where Western Sydney Wanderers and Brisbane drew 2-2 yesterday. Young, who is of Sri Lankan and Scottish descent, was believed to have verbally responded to the remark, which was reported to have been made by a Wanderers supporter. Fairfax Media cited a Football Federation Australia spokesman.
Guys and gals, grab your partner, your family or your friends and head out to Camden Way to K-Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athlete. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics and lots more. Thrills, spills and non-stop rodeo action, November 8 to 18. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au.
Punters, we bet you, you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
I'm at work with
Graham
to show him how changing radio stations on any Amazon Alexa device is as easy as saying, Alexa, play non-stop AM.
Playing non-stop AM.
Well, that was easy.
Your turn. Say, Alexa play, then think of one of the 300 or so stations you want to hear.
Alexa play.
Why aren't you saying this?
You said to think of one, so I'm thinking of one.
Good gosh. Controlling the radio with your voice is now unbelievably easy with Amazon Alexa.
Jerome Randall tries to make it happen, and he drops three more. And that means that Sydney are celebrating, and Newley loves it.
Beautifully weighted from Cabal, and the follow-up from Riera. Wanderers lead in Mudgee.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
It just never stops the sport, does it? So much sport going on over the course of the weekend, and there's much to come today as well. It's been a huge week. Hope you're having a great start to your Sunday morning. Our little mate Ray Thomas is still down in Melbourne town. How are you, Raymond?
Good morning, Jim. About to take off in a couple of hours, or two and a half hours, James. I'll have to leave early if that's okay.
You'll have to leave early?
I don't want to miss that plane.
Gee, I tell you what, if there was any one of the two... Exactly. Any one of the two of us who everyone thought would bail out early, can't finish the job, it wasn't Ray Thomas. And anyway.
These are hard, anyway. Man. I don't want to miss that plane, Jim.
How long have you been away? Just how many days have you been away?
3.5 weeks. So about 25 days, I think.
Unbelievable. Apparently Tanya's loving it. But anyway...
exactly. She probably wants me to miss that point.
I don't think that is the case at all. Cross Counter is the winner of the 2018 Melbourne Cup. The Blue Army has done it, as Matty Hill told us, done it at last.
How'd you go, Jim? Do you have any luck?
None. Zero. Zero. In the end... Mantaha was the one that I was on because of the wet weather, and had a saver on Avilius, who, of course, was a bit of collateral damage out the back there with the Cliffs of Moher. But overall, Raymond, how are we ranking, how are we rating the Melbourne Cup Carnival? I know you've covered them for nearly 30 years now. What was your take on 2018?
Yeah, look, terrific. I think there's two schools of thought now. Re the Melbourne Cup, has it gone too far down the international route? But the race has become an international race now. It's no longer just for Australasian stayers. We have to accept that fact. But I think there is certainly suddenly some talk, Jimmy, about whether some of the internationals or all the internationals who come down should be made to at least have one run prior to the Melbourne Cup. Now, that wouldn't have worked for Marmelo, who obviously raced best when he's a little bit on the fresher side, as he ran a great race in the Melbourne Cup to run second across Counter. But
yes.
there's no doubt that a lot of Australian punters and race fans, I won't say disillusioned, but are finding it very, very difficult to line up the international form if they haven't seen these horses race. And there is sort of the VRC are looking at all these options for the first time, I think, ever, and they're actually looking at that option as to whether they make some of these, or all the international, have a lead-up run. It'll be a radical change of thinking, and that actually may curtail the number of horses that come down, because at the moment it's getting to plague proportions, isn't it, Jim?
1-2-3 England in the 2018 Cup, which is great, and a problem all rolled into one. and that's what you're trying to sort through it. There was all sorts of talk about making qualification for Australian horses a little easier with winning certain races and all of that
well,
sort of thing.
That's a must, Jim.
Yeah.
Like, for the life of me, there's only two Group 1 2,500 metre handicaps leading into the Melbourne Cup each spring. One of them is the Caulfield Cup. The winner goes straight in.
Yep.
The other is the Metropolitan. It means nothing in Victoria. It just makes no sense. And there's other races which a significant lead-up races, but because they're not at Flemington or aligned to the VRC, etc., they're not counted. It's just ludicrous. Yet overseas, there's a plethora of lead-up races that can virtually qualify an international runner. So
yeah,
that's all out of balance. They're looking at that as well, thankfully, because you know there's just I think there's too many in the cup, internationals in the cup, and by that I mean they get too easy a ride. Now the last 2 years we've seen the Northern Hemisphere three-year-olds, Rekindling and then Cross Counter, get into the Melbourne Cup with a very light weight, 51.5.
Yes.
And they've been too good for our horses. Now, obviously, that's an issue where the VRC handicappers led by Greg Carpenter will need to look at, because they're obviously getting in too light. These are horses that have hardly raced, haven't won Group 1s, but they're essentially four-year-olds by Australian time, and they're just too strong a stayers, aren't they, Jim?
Absolutely. Well done, Cross Counter. Well done, Karen McAvoy, third Melbourne Cup. Mm. Well done, Charlie Appleby, who used to travel to tracks all around England when Karen McAvoy first went over there to Godolphin. And, of course, well done to the Blue Army, as was mentioned by Matty Hill. Some elite cricketers on show and a big audience to watch them. I'm not talking about Friday night, Raymond, the game that you...
We had a win Friday night.
Well, I had to... It was like back in the old days, I was transcribing it to you and the ball is hit. And Bradman has scored runs through the cover. There we go. There's a win for Australia. I'm talking about Coogee Oval on Saturday, where David Warner and Steve Smith went head-to-head. It was Randwick-Petersham v Sutherland District Cricket Clubs, and in the end it was the Subbos who got home. Shane Watson involved in that one. Austin Waugh was playing as well, son of Steve. I liked
your tweet when you said if Fox had to cover this, they would have had huge numbers. Jim.
Massive numbers.
Steve Smith v. Dee Warner.
Yep.
And do you see Dee Warner after the match did address the rumours of a rift between himself and Australia's former Test captain, and hopefully he's put that one to bed, Jim?
Why? Why hopefully? Are you worried about the relationship between Steve Smith and David Warner, Ray?
Well, it just eats away at Australian cricket. The cancer is Australian cricket at the moment. You know, they've got to move on from these things and get their house back in order. I hope the bloodletting's finished. I hope Friday night's a sign of things slowly turning around, because it's been an awful period for Australian cricket. The clean out in Cricket Australia, unbelievable, unprecedented, and obviously the ball tampering scandal's taken really put Australian cricket on the back foot. So
Ray, Australian cricket has been built on vendettas and rivalries and lack of respect for teammates over the course of, well, as long as it's been going around. You can go back to Bradman and O'Reilly.
Yeah, Warn and War.
Fingleton, Warn and War. You know, they're there for all to see. You know, poor old Kim Hughes having to take on Rod Marsh and Dennis Lilly back when he was made captain. All of that sort of stuff. Been around for years. Anyway, I don't care whether they like each other. I just want them playing their best for Australia.
Yeah.
That's right. We'll take your thoughts on that. 1353, 53, the open line number. And just on Steve Smith, I'm not going to throw you under the bus here, Raymond, but Fiona Wingett works for the news press, Daily Telegraph. She wrote an article. It appeared on Tuesday. It was buried during the course of the Melbourne Cup coverage. By the way, congratulations on your work with news. Outstanding again for the coverage of the carnival. But there was an article detailing Steve Smith's night out at Manly following a T20 game for Sydney Grey Cricket. I think the response on online and the response very quickly from those involved in the Manly Cricket Club, etc., was very strong and painted a much clearer picture of what actually went on that night. But it gave you a little glimpse of what Steve Smith, for whatever reason, is facing, and the scrutiny that he and David Warner and Cameron Bancroft have been under since Sandpapergate at Newlands. It goes back to that time he was in a bar in New York having a beer there, and apparently he was the saddest man on the planet.
Yeah, no. I think there's another side of that story, obviously, Jim, and one of the most salient points, I did look at the social media condemnation of that article. I probably shouldn't talk ill of my colleagues, but a lot of people made comment that Steve Smith gave of his time after that game, signed thousands of autographs, took pictures with the kids, etc.
Yeah.
He's a grown man. He's entitled to have a beer after a game, Jim.
Would have thought so. Well done, Tommy Mackinson, the Golden Boot winner for 2018. That's right.
Who?
Exactly.
Who?
The St. Helens.
What's going on there, James?
Of all my favourite St. Helens wingers over the years, Tommy Mackinson's right up there with them.
What's going on? They have changed the criteria.
Correct.
Apparently it's just
the
internationals now. Well, why wasn't that widely reported? Why wasn't that widely debated?
It makes
a mockery of the award. The Golden Boot means the best player on the planet, doesn't it?
More to the point, Ray, why change it?
Yeah, if it ain't broke. So who is Tommy Mackinson? He scored 3 tries the other day. He made his test debut off the bench in that American test. So, like, seriously. Anyway.
It has completely devalued the Golden Boot Award. That ever since it started, we've all appreciated. Oh, had a great season, a Golden Boot winner.
The best player on the planet.
I think Thurston's won it 3 times, Johns has won it, Sterling won it, Hugh McGahn won it, Gary Jack won it, Billy Slater won it, Anthony Minichiello.
Tedesco should have won it.
There you go. That's a very good point. Again, listeners, we'll take your thoughts on that. 13:53:53. What we want here, Ray, over the course of the next 3 hours is elite honesty. Mm-hmm. All right?
Please explain. What does that mean?
You're the schmuck. That's right. I think that's what it does mean.
I tell you what. Look, I like Justin Langer. I think he's a breath of fresh air, and I think he's going to be good for Australian cricket because he values the baggy green. He values mateship. He values team ethos, which is fantastic. But what does elite honesty mean, Jim?
It's apparently when you're talking to your mother and your sister and you look them in the eye and you tell the truth. That's elite honesty.
Idea.
But what about when you lied to your mother? Anyway, that's a separate issue. That's not so elite. That's elite dishonesty. Anyway, they're the things we're going through this morning, and that's what we're looking for, Ray. Some elite honesty over the course of the next 3 hours. So we've got a big show lined up. Dare I say, it's massive. Andrew Adkins, a double for him yesterday. Anthony Cummings, very impressive Sky Boy. Looks like he's got himself a Villiers horse for that one as well. We'll also speak to Anthony Friedman at Santa Ana Lane, 4th Group 1, and what a star-studded field it was in the VRC sprint. And
what a win.
Just superb. Yeah. Took him a while to get him out, Mark Zahra, didn't it?
And yeah, after the race, I don't know if you saw it, Jim, but I just could get that sense that Anthony Friedman was thinking what might have been if the Everest was dry.
And we'll never know.
Dry track.
Hey, it was a celebration on Friday down at the Manly Skiff Club for our man Peter Zorba-Peters following his retirement, 50 years involvement with the Manly Club. He won't be retiring from here. You'll be able to listen to him every Sunday morning, but a little bit disappointment there. No official from the Manly Club was there. Desi has apparently turned up later for a beer with his great mate. So we'll have a chat to Zorba about all the things in the game of rugby league. Trent Barrett not turning up and still getting paid. Aren't you looking for a similar type deal with News Limited? I'm trying to work that out with Sky Sports Radio. How do I work that one out?
I don't know if it actually applies to mere mortals like us, mate. So just run it through us, Jim. So effectively, Trent Barrett's been told you're persona non grata, but we'll still pay you until the end of your contract. It's end of June, isn't it?
Well, as part of him fulfilling his contract, he's got to turn up the training. And then he keeps getting his money.
He's been told not to turn up.
Now they've said, listen, we don't want you to turn up for training. I can't imagine Des Hazard would have said anything other than sort it out, make sure he's not there. I don't care what you do. Make sure he's not a training. And that is totally understandable.
Well, you can't have effectively your former head coach standing alongside your head coach when both were getting paid. And what's the latest with the South Brisbane coaching saga, James?
Stand by.
Okay.
Stand by, Raymond.
Nothing yet? Nothing yet.
No, they've got to sort out some dollars. We went through it last week. There's nothing changed. There's some dollars got to be sorted out for Wayne. Event Cinema's quiz score update?
Oh, I've forgotten, Jim. Sorry. Is it 26-19?
No, it's not. It's 25-19. You're still alive. I won't say alive and well, but you're alive.
One more week.
One more week. I'll just put you out of your misery, hopefully this week.
Did you watch the Matildas yesterday?
I watched the highlights of the Matildas. They should have won 8-3, shouldn't they?
I don't know. I haven't had Foxtel for the last 3.5 weeks, Jim. I've been withdrawal symptoms. I've hardly watched any sport apart from racing.
Well, how on earth has someone booked you into a hotel without Foxtel? That's ridiculous. Exactly. You know what? Someone's lost their job there at News. Race blown up.
No.
Said, this will never. Give me your name. I want them out of the building.
No, you move on. You don't worry about it. But 3-2 Chile.
3-2 Chile. Looking at the highlights, Matildas had so many opportunities and Chile had three. So there you go. But they should have won 8-3. But anyway, we'll speak to Phil Moss about that. Yeah, Mossy's coming up. He'll be in the final hour. We'll have Brad Rosen talk us through the Kings. They're now 4-3 after the win against the Adelaide 36. What about the Adelaide 36ers? They just sacked blokes after the loss. They've lost four on the trot. They were saying, right, you get on the plane.
You go. You're gone.
Tanya will give us a sports update as well. I mentioned Mossy will come along for a chat. Trent Lenscale apparently has been awoken. Is that right? From his slumber?
The great man was sound asleep, but he's now up and about and he's looking after us now. So.
And the mystery voice comp is back too, courtesy of the ATC, mate. We are going to be giving away four tickets to
Royal
Randwick.
Just run our listeners past how that works again, James.
I thought you might. No, what happens is we'll play a little teaser of the voice and then in the final hour we'll play a voice. You'll have to try and recognise it, ring in, and then if you are the first correct answer of who the voice is, you will go into the draw. You'll be one of six. We had our first winner last week. One of six to be the winner of for four people. It's drinks, it's food, and race booklet all on Villiers Day at Royal Randwick in the Grand View Room. And look, we can't promise anything. However, we may throw in an audience with Ray Thomas.
Gee, you won't want to do that. There'll be no callers now, Jim.
No, we'll be right, Raymond. 13:53:53. We've got to get to a break, Raymond. But before that, we've got to get our talk topic for the day out.
Great returns. Is that what decide on, Jim?
The returns. The great returns. Yeah, we did return. Decide
stumbling
that one.
Stumbling in for a second.
Ivan Cleary, the article is across all media today. He is back at the Penrith Panthers. Dez is back at Manly. So we thought, the great returns in sport. You got any?
Yeah. When World Series cricket folded and Lily Chappell and Marsh came back into the fold, so to speak, wearing for the then ACB and getting back into the Australian Test cricket team. Most of those WSC players, I think it was about seven of them, walked straight back into the first 11 by memory. Lily Chappell and Marsh, when they came back to play for the Australian Cricket Board at the time.
Now, there you go. That's a good one. 2001 is mine. State of Origin 3. Alan Langer comes from the north of England at Warrington, and he comes and plays Game 3 at ANZ Stadium. That was ANZ Stadium up in Brisbane. And somehow it just didn't feel right for the New South Wales side. They ended up losing to Queensland 40-14. He had a blinder, scored a try, and it was the greatest masterstroke from Wayne Bennett, perhaps in a career littered with masterstrokes of all time. So that was the great return of the great Alan Langer. 13:53:53. That's the open line number. We've got to take a break, Raymond. After that, we'll be back with some race replays and your calls on 13:53:53. It is the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray and Jimmy.
With 150 years of expertise, the specialist team at HQ Insurance are passionate about horses and privileged to be an integral part of the bloodstock industry. HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. Find us at hqinsurance.com.au or call 8913 1640.
Your family deserves to be safe and secure at home. That's where Wideline Windows and Doors can help. Their secure line screens offer security without compromising on design or your view. And their safe line window screens are designed to prevent falls, keeping your youngest family members safe and sound. For security, safety and peace of mind, call Wideline
windows and doors. Or visit their website at www.wideline.com.au.
Fear the Dragon. Fear
the Dragon. Big boys are three across, coming to the line. Huntsville down the center. Fear the Dragon on the outside for Miller is coming on. And it's Fear the Dragon. Huntsville fights on to the finish. Huntsville between. Fear the Dragon on the outside. Fear the Dragon on the outside gives Miller back-to-back Pepsi North America Cups. It's Fear the Dragon in 1:48-4.
Fear the Dragon. Limited semen available. Book now. Visit yourabee.com.au.
With 100 metres to go, Art Collection, Vinokunka, Art Collection and Vinokunka, stride for stride, their heads in unison, tight, very tight, Vinokunka, Art Collection.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. James, Rose Hill yesterday, did you see much of the action at Rose Hill?
Absolutely, I did.
Some pretty impressive winners. Before we get into them, can I just do a break with protocol. Quick cheerio to two of our loyal listeners, Kathy from Collector and Michelle from Dubbo.
Yes.
Hope you both have a great day, ladies, and thanks always, as always, for listening to the show. James, first race replay, Royal Celebration. Geez, a consistent colt. Carried a big weight, gave Kateri a big start, runs him down late.
Ambola leads by three quarters to Coterie, and they're well clear from the rest. Phone Me under plenty of pressure. Royal Celebration six off the lead, being really revved up as they turn. Baller's under pressure now, and Coterie heads it off. Coterie goes to the front from Baller. Three lengths away to Royal Celebration, who's starting to run home well. 200 out. Coterie two in front. Royal Celebration with all the weight is sticking on. Coterie in front. Royal Celebration is trying to level up. It's Coterie. Royal Celebration. Royal Celebration dives and got the money. Royal Celebration right on the post. Nailed Coterie. Singing Sand third.
Andrew Adkins on board. We're going to speak to Andrew a little bit later on in the program. Ronnie Quinton said, now why would I send it to Melbourne when there's so much money available in Sydney?
125,000 a Saturday race, Jim. So it's pretty decent money now, isn't it?
And I think he mentioned the Bob's bonus as well too.
Yep, a couple of those, and you're set up for a number of years.
So. $38,000 purchase. So owners would be very happy with Ronnie's work with Royal Celebration.
On to race six, Jim, and this is a really promising horse. Three in a row, carrying 60 kgs. Bigger things in store for Sky Boy.
Coming around the turn, and Reetha sitting very quietly on Sky Boy as it's got Mazaz beaten. Then Nicochet Highway getting into the clear, and further back to Smoke and Piero down to the 250, and Sky Boy with a good lead. Nicochet's giving chase. Sky Boy two lengths in front to Nicochet, and Miss Shanty's making ground, but Sky Boy in front from Nicochet, getting within three quarters. Sky Boy from Nicochet. Sky Boy's clinging on, and Sky Boy the favourite wins it. Sky Boy, a long neck on the line to Nicochet. Miss Shanty ran the
Tell you what, you're a little bit nervous if you took the $1.80 for the all-the-way win on Skyboy, but good, tough win. Not the plan to lead, but that's the way it played out. And with that weight, Raymond, that was very impressive. I think there, well, we can ask Anthony Cummings a little bit later on as well. 1,800-metre race at Rose Hill in 2 weeks, and then the Villiers over the 1,600 metres at headquarters.
There won't be a fitter horse, will there, James? He'll be coming back from two 2,000-metre wins to that 1,800-metre race into the Villiers. And, of course, if you win the Villiers, you automatically qualify for the Doncaster Mile next autumn. So we'll talk to Anthony Cummings shortly. That's the plan for the impressive Sky Boy. I think this mare is also going to win better races this prep. Second up, very impressive. Her name is Dyslexic.
Dyslexic, the insider, head in front to Coruscant. Petrosian goes to third, followed by Goulwar coming down the outside. 300 to run. Dyslexic still in front from Coruscant. Only ahead between them. Goulwar's closing in. Dyslexic's got a kick. Dyslexic still ahead in front from Coruscant. Stride for stride. Dyslexic holding Coruscant. And Dyslexic goes on to win it. Dyslexic from Coruscant. Third home was Goulwar.
Yeah, she worked hard again in that one. That was the second winner for Andrew Adkins. Eighth start now, three wins for Dyslexic, which is by Fox Wedge out of Easy to Read, which is very, very good,
name,
indeed.
Isn't it?
Yeah, great name. Great name.
Yeah, Team Hawk's got a nice mare there. Flemington yesterday, James, 67,000 people. The nicest day of the spring. Was a beautiful afternoon in Melbourne. Jarmay wins the Queen's Stakes. David Hayes thought definitely this horse would have finished top five in the Melbourne Cup if he ran on Tuesday, but they're already thinking 2019 Cup with Jarmay.
Northwest Passage sprints up by a length and a half, Miss Admiration. Jame's got the run from Gallic Chieftain. Then LeBron and Castedon down the outside. Northwest Passage is wayward. Sully moves up on the outside of Jame. They're stride for stride at the 200. It's Jame about a half length in front of Sully and Castedon. Sully lifting. Sully takes Jame with 100 to go. Sully, Jame's fighting back. Jame off the canvas and Sully, they hit it. Jame! Jame's won it from Sully. LeBron, fourth, Castedon.
What was it, the event, the race that, was it, the, I'm trying to think of the horse, the Lexus ran
second
in the Lexus, so didn't get a start. We spoke to David Hayes beforehand, didn't we, and he was very excited about Jame. Currently, Raymond, a $51 chance in the 2019 Melbourne Cup market, which is up
on it,
tab.com.au, cross Canada, the $15 favourite.
Exactly. We might see Jame in Sydney for the Sydney Cup in the autumn, Jim, because as David Hayes said yesterday, he's just a genuine two-miler. He recovered from being headed to win. On to the VRC Sprint Classic. This is one of the races of the spring. Fantastic win. Santa Ana Lane.
Red Zell coming up the middle with also Spirit of Valor, and then Red Kirk Warrior. Brave Smash needs a run. They're right across the track in her time back towards the inside at the 200. Jungle Cat and Pierrada together, followed by Red Zell. Santa Ana Lane's charging home within her time on the inside. In her time, and Santa Ana Lane, stride for stride, Santa Ana Lane has beaten in her time. What a finish. Third of photo, Jungle Cat or Pierrada.
Fourth group one for Santa Ana Lane. Anthony Friedman told Mark Zara, look, don't panic. You'll win it in the last 50 metres. I wonder if Anthony was panicking at any point. Couldn't get a run there for a while, Raymond.
He's unflappable, Anthony Friedman. I don't think, well, the horse comes first or last. His demeanour never changes. Red Zell, interesting, Jim. The Everest champ. Peter Snowden thought he had him at absolute peak, but said he just didn't turn up on the day. And so he was disappointing. Pierrada ran a terrific race in her time again. She's going to win a major. She's a good mare. On to the final Group 1 race of the spring, the McKinnon Stakes. And the horse, they said, wasn't good enough running a Cox Plate. Causes a monumental upset. His name is Trap for Fools.
Trap for Fools goes for home at the 400 metres, two lengths in front of Doubt Defying Prized Icon. Then Latrobe, Extra Brute to the outside, and Blair House is coming through at the 200. It's Trap for Fools in front, getting weary. Here's Latrobe, the outside, then Blair House and Extra Brute. Trap for Fools at the 100. Latrobe and Extra Brute is storming over the top of them. Latrobe and Trap for Fools. Trap for Fools digs in and won it. Trap for Fools has won it. Has fought tenaciously, a cage lion, beaten Latrobe and Extra Brute for fourth prize icon.
So that was a second win on the day for Johnny Allen, and he has revealed himself to be a star this carnival, hasn't he? And this, as a result of that, we get this. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. What a week of racing we had. And a new star was born to Aussie racing. Johnny Allen, what a carnival he had. And Darren Weir wraps him big time. Ray, do you know if in her time is going to WA? She was unlucky yesterday. That's Cheers, Davey from Canoundra.
Yeah, I think she'll be heading to the Spelling Paddock. And they're already looking at the TJ Smith Stakes in the autumn with her. Gee, she's an unlucky mare, isn't she? I know she's won one Group 1, but she could have won three or four more. And she was very brave yesterday. That McKinnon Stakes, Jim, I don't think will go down the annals of the all-time great 2,000-metre weight for age races. But as you said, you can't deny John Allen's spring carnival. He won the Derby on Extra Brute.
Yep.
I think he rode three winners yesterday. And he was a guy who couldn't get a ride in Ireland and decided to travel the world to see where he would end up. And he came across a gentleman called Darren Weir, and the rest is history, Jim.
Jumps jockey, wasn't he? Was he a jumps
jockey? Still,
yeah,
still rides over the jumps, and you'll find at Warrnambool and the Great Warrnambool Carnival next May, he'll be riding in Grand Annuals and Briley Steeples and everything, and then he'll be riding on the flat as well. He's as Darren Weir says, he's the best horseman he's ever come across.
Well, the other thing I heard about him or read during the course of the week was that Darren rewards hard work, and no one works harder than Johnny Allen. So there you go. He deserves it. 1353-53 is the open line number. Ray, it's been remiss of us. We must make mention of it because I don't know whether you wouldn't have seen the Sunday Telegraph. There's a 20-page lift-out celebrating 100-year anniversary to the end of the war, Armistice Day, Remembrance Day. The photo on the front page of the Sunday Telegraph, you could stare at it for hours. It is an amazing photo. Brilliant image there, yeah, peace, 100 years ago today. So we've got to make mention of that. And just before we go to a break, Raymond, we've got a couple of nominations already for our talk topic today, which is the returns. High team, the greatest return I feel is the Mighty Bunnies. coming back into the comp after getting the boot. Don't ask me I have a memory like a sieve. Bunny Boy. Well, Bunny Boy, it was 2002. They got back into the league after being excluded at the end of the 1999 season.
George Piggins fought the good fight for years, didn't he?
Unbelievable. Unbelievable. Mm. And they did. They got back and look at that, 2014, they win their 21st premiership after a drought of 43 years. We get this from Michelle from Dubbo. Morning, how about Elite Honesty? Michelle Payne, to all those who doubted her ability, get stuffed. That's Michelle from Dubbo. Okay.
Hey, wouldn't that have been a great story if they won the Oaks on Thursday, Jim, with a horse called Miner's Miss, another 101 outside on a Group 1 ridden by Michelle, trained by her father, Paddy, who came out of retirement, bought the horse for about $10,000 and runs a fantastic third in the Oaks on Thursday.
And there you go. And you're going to we're going to see the movie very shortly, directed by Rachel Griffiths. It's interesting. Rachel Griffiths was there in all her finery on Melbourne Cup Day. I do remember 20 years ago when she was protesting out the front of Crown Casino about gambling. But anyway, seems to have changed the tune. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break. We've got a caller's on the line. Who else? It's Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray. How are you? So I've got two.
Good morning, Doug.
Today, about Penrith, well, who are they going to sign up for next year? I don't know, but hopefully they get someone, might.
Well, hang on. They got a pretty good squad as it is, Dougie.
They can't fit them under the salary cap, can they, Jim? talent galore there, Doug.
And another comeback I was going to talk about is Cooper Cronk working with a bad shoulder on the grand final.
We're looking for returns, Dougie, as opposed to comebacks, but we see that Cooper's going to be available to play round one of the 2019 season.
Jim, that's a talk topic we should write down. Playing under duress.
Playing under duress.
That's what he did in the grand final, didn't he?
Yeah. Well, we're stockpiling these talk topics based on
next week.
What we're doing.
We decide about a minute before 7 o'clock.
That's right.
So we're going to head start. You know, we actually think about it for a change.
You know what this is? This is new territory for us. There you go. Good on you, Dougie. Thanks for the call on that. And if you want to look at the gains, Timmy Grant, well, there's a return. Grant's going back to the Panthers. Malachi Watene-Zelezniak, he's going back there as well. And Tyrell Fui-Maono from the South Sydney Rabbitohs, he's a good player. But they've lost plenty too, of course. Corey Hutterwitt and Ira probably headlines that. Mike Acevo, Tyrone Peachy. So there are some losses there for the Penrith Panthers. 1353-53, open line number. We're going to stick with callers, Roman, because Anthony is on the line. G'day, Anthony.
Good morning. So I might have got it wrong myself, actually. But anyway, I'll say him anyway. You can tell me if I got it wrong. Well, Andrew Johns' return might be matching Alan Langer's when he came back from his first State of Origin game. Remember that when he came back for that State of Origin game and Blitzen?
Yeah, he was returning from, well, I think what happened was he got a broken jaw, and as a result of that, he got 5 extra weeks to work on his knee. He went up to the University of Queensland and just did a huge amount of work on his knee, and it came back, and then he got the call up to be able to go into that State of Origin 2 game in 2005 and played arguably the greatest game in his State of Origin career.
But the two I might have got wrong as the returns was Ray Tullock come back.
He came back
after 2 years absence. And Larry Austin came out of retirement to win the Melbourne Cup of Kenzie. Would they be first-class returns?
Yeah, no. Well, Tullock was basically on death's door, wasn't he, for 18 months. And his first-up win beating Lord at Flemington over 2,000 metres. They say TJ Smith, one of the few times in his life, had a couple of tears in his eyes that day with Tullock's comeback. And Larry Olsen, well, his weight soared into the mid-70s, Jimmy and Anthony, and went on a brown rice diet, made a comeback, and in the same year won a Golden Slipper and the Melbourne Cup on Kenzie.
Now, we're very loose with our interpretations here on a Sunday morning. So, look, we want it to be returns following Ivan Cleary's return to Penrith and Des Hazard's return to Manly. We don't know whether they're going to be successes or failures just yet, but, yeah, the returns. We'll let you go with that one, though, Andrew.
Couple. Yeah. Anthony, that was right, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. 1350... We're going to have to clarify during the course of this ad break.
Returns or comebacks, it's the same thing.
As I say, we're very loose with our interpretations here on a Sunday morning. 1353-53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with more.
Guys and gals, grab your partner, your family or your friends and head out to Camden Way to K-Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athlete. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics and lots more. Thrills, spills and non-stop rodeo action, November 8 to 18. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1300 107 155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
The only place to catch the very best equine superstars from around the globe, first time, every time, is right here. Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Aristia up to Graceful Glamour, then Miners Miss. Aristia just in front of Graceful Glamour. Aristia won the Oaks from Graceful Glamour. Miners Miss, what a run third.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
And welcome back to the show. And Jimmy, can I break protocol again? Drive Steve Mad here.
You've become a different person down there. You're 4 weeks in Melbourne, haven't you? You've broken protocol twice this morning.
I just want a quick cheerio again, if I can use that expression, to Les Carline. He's not in the best of health at the moment. He's a writer and journalist without peer. And
yes.
Armistice Day, of course, today, 100 years since the end of World War One, and he wrote, I think, arguably one of the greatest books I've ever read, Jim, on World War One, called The Great War. And if you haven't read it, it's Les Carline at his absolute best. And Les, we hope you... get well soon, mate. Hey, Jimmy, Rose Hill yesterday, this man had a terrific book of rides. Sometimes it doesn't work out on the day, but for Andrew Adkins, it did yesterday. Two winners on two really nice horses, and he's been good enough to join us online. Andrew, good morning. Congratulations on the double, and if we can go straight into Royal Celebration, did you think he was going to run down Kateri there at the top of the straight?
Hey, good morning, guys. It was a bit of a testing moment in the last 100, but... Look, when I straightened up, I knew I had a bit of a task ahead of me, but I was always very confident in the horse. I liked him a lot, but like I said, he had a task ahead of him, and he'd done a good job from the 400 to the 200, and I didn't know if he could keep the gallop up to be able to run him down over the last, 100 or so. And I'll tell you what, it was a very tough and gallant win by him, because it, not only was he carrying a top weight, but he was chasing a very hot tempo, and horses are lightweight too, which didn't help. And I think his performance over more the last 150 was his best, I think, because he had to really dig deep and show his true ability.
Mm. What's going through your head, Andrew, when you're on the $2 favourite and you're chasing and you're 200 metres out from home and you've got that heavier weight on?
Well, it's not a good feeling. But when I ride to Ron and Ron's pretty easy with instructions, he just wants his horses in a rhythm and make sure they're travelling, and that's pretty much it. So from the get-go, I was sort of in a nice spot at the start, but when the tempo kept improving and kept that really crazy speed up, I had to find myself in an awkward spot where I was having to be a little bit too far back, but the horse was probably looking for a mile yesterday, really, so... I just had to do my job and get him to travel and be comfortable in the race, and that's where I was, and that was the spot, being back a little bit. So when I was coming to the turn, it wasn't a great feeling knowing I'd have to chase them and find them for a good furlong or so and do some hard chasing. So like I said, it was a very gallant win by him to do something like that.
Mm.
He's a gutsy colt, isn't he, Andrew? And, gee, he's got a decent record now. 7 starts, never missed a top 2 finish. He's won 3. A couple of the horses he's chased home in his races, the Autumn Sun and Gem Song, etc. So he's a really quality colt. He's almost racing at the wrong time of the year, Andrew.
Yeah, well, that's exactly right. Like you said, he's chased home some pretty handy gallopers, and, horses have gone on to really good bright futures as well. So, no, look, he's a really nice horse, and he's got the right nature to be a good horse too, because he's very relaxed and he's a very calm sort of horse, and that takes a colt a long way. So, Ron's been very patient, and his owners, and they've been beautiful to keep me on him, and I ride him most days of track work, and when I'm not there, the good girl rides him work. So, he's, like I said, he's a very quiet horse, which helps a lot of things out.
Mm. Your other win was on the Mad Dyslexic. We've already heard the replay of that. Fantastic win again. Had to work hard. Price drift on that one. So again, on a favourite there, Andrew, or near enough to favourite. Were you aware of that? Those price movements before you go out and ride the mare?
No, I have no idea.
Right.
No idea. I thought she was a great chance. Look, obviously, she was pretty good first up. She found herself in the worst part of the track, and I knew she was dropping back in grade, and only a small field. I was a bit worried. I spoke to Michael before the race. He asked me to be sort of third or fourth somewhere, but when I jumped out really, really well, and I couldn't see any speed in the race, so I was happy to have her in the lead. I just sort of rode her for my own horse only, not the race, but to make sure she was travelling at her best, and just to make sure I had that little bit up my sleeve for the last furlong, and that's the way it sort of worked out. And she was very strong through the line, and it was a very gallant win by her.
Yeah, that to me was the most impressive part, Andrew, because you had to lead. Coruscate, who's rock hard fit, stalked your mare all the way. Your mare was only second up, but she's rallied under pressure, and there's definitely better things in store for Dyslexic.
Yeah, exactly right. I think she could go into listed and group races at the right time of the year, and she's doing the right things. And she's another horse that's very quiet, and obviously she's got that little bit of foolish nature about her that, you know, doesn't want to let anything past her, and that's what she showed yesterday. And obviously the Hawks have done a great job and with her, and to be able to get her running that sort of a second up is a good effort. And like I said, she was never letting them pass her yesterday.
Well, Andrew, fantastic work. Congratulations on the two wins. Appreciate your time this morning, and let's hope we're chatting again shortly.
Not a problem, guys. Thanks very much for having me on.
There he is. Great fella, isn't he? Every time we speak to him, Ray, we're always impressed by Andrew Adkins, doing very well. Winner there for Ronnie Quinton too, and for the Hawks stable. These returns are going gangbusters here, Raymond. Jimmy, great returns. Ray, returning to the 1970s after hearing his thoughts about future requirements for international runners in the Melbourne Cup. Make them have a start before the Cup is ludicrous. Everyone can access the form online to see them race. But then again, he couldn't get Foxtel for the last 3 weeks. So, no name on that one.
I like it. That's good.
How bad are the Wallabies losing to Wales, the only Australian team that has even more problems than the Aussie cricket team? That's from Steve. Yeah, 9-6 they lost. One for the purists, that one, isn't it? Three penalty goals up against two penalty goals.
We haven't made mention of the big clash between the All Blacks and England. 16-15, the All Blacks have won. They trailed 15-0 at one stage, Jim.
Yeah, they got it done against it. So Steve Hansen or Andy Jones, they're good mates. That came out during the course of the week, and they often ring each other. And so I'd imagine Steve ringing Eddie this week, not the other way around. Here's a good one before we go to an ad break. Hi, guys. Great returns. How about the legendary Ben Hogan, who hit on the head by a bus in a car crash, jumped in front of his wife to save her life, came back after to win many tournaments. Love the show, guys. That's Chad from the Auburn Pro Shop. Good on you, Chad.
One of the great sport movies of all time. You must can't remember what its name, about the life story of Ben Hogan.
Oh, really?
Car crash.
I haven't seen it.
Okay, Google it during the ad break. It's one of the great sport movies.
Okay, and speaking of golf, we've got the AV Jennings New South Wales Open final round today out there at Twin Creeks Golf and Country Club at Ludnam. Jake McLeod has shot a 10-under course record yesterday, and he leads by four shots. He's 19-under. He's teeing off at 11 o'clock. Blake Proverbs at 15-under. What a great name that is.
Mm-hmm.
Harrison Endicott at 14-under. Cameron John, 13-under. A couple of guys at 12-under as well. But the names in the field that we might know, David McKenzie's at 10-under in a tie for ninth. We've got a few others there. But Brett Coletta, 8-under. Aaron Pike is 8-under as well. Blake Windred, the amateur who finished top five last year, he's also 8-under. So that final round is getting underway at the Twin Creeks Golf and Country Club very shortly. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break, Raymond. After the break, we'll come back and have a chat, hopefully, with Anthony Cummings.
Got that sick feeling just thinking about how much money you owe? No money to enjoy life? If this sounds like you, then you should give Capital Debt Solutions a call for a confidential chat about combining your unsecured debts into just one weekly repayment tailored to your budget. That's a solution working for you. Focus on a debt-free future. You deserve it. Capital Debt Solutions. Solutions for your financial freedom. 1-300-107-155 or capitaldebtsolutions.com.au.
Punters, we bet you, you can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
90-40 Legends. Six teams playing for over $100,000 in prize money and raising money for the Mark Hughes Foundation. The Legends of League return. One action-packed day of old-school rugby league. Come marvel at the skills of household names. Menzies, Baderas, Hindmarsh and Saylor. Saturday, November 17, Central Coast Stadium. Get your tickets now for the Legends of League from Ticketek.
Going well, 100 metres to go, two lengths in front and staving them off, and Shraro goes on to win it from Steel Prince Azuro, and they were followed by Kel Storm and El Wendo.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, that was the call of Shraro winning on Cup Day, Jim, at his first Australian start for Chris Waller, and he's already in the market for the Melbourne Cup next year at $51. Very nice horse. And I did Google in the ad break, Jim, that movie was called Follow the Sun. Yeah, Glenn Ford played Ben Hogan, and it was, anyway, great movie. We'll move on. I can see you.
Bill Collins. Oh, Bill Collins down there in Melbourne.
Move on. Hey, Jim, yesterday, as mentioned, Sky Boy earlier. I'm really taken by this horse, and Anthony Cummings has done a super job. He had a long break, and he's come back this prep. Five starts, two thirds, and then three successive city wins.
Mm.
And Anthony Cummings has got big plans for Sky Boy. He's on the line this morning. Anthony, good morning. Congratulations. Good morning. And that was a brave win yesterday under the big weight.
Yeah, he did a really good job because he had the lead, which is not, I don't think it's his best go. And then getting taken on the way he did in the run, spoke very well of him.
Yeah, what's your thoughts? What are you saying to Edward when you're standing there and you're thinking, well, hang on, he's not supposed to lead, but because of the way the race plays out, does that sap you of a bit of confidence, Anthony?
No, it comes down to the ride then, and Christian did a really good job. That was one of the things that could have happened, because like the leader, the thing that was drawn the inside, it was a lightning out of the gates, and there was a chance that was going to happen. Christian sort of landed there, and he said he wasn't going to wait for this other thing to sort of work up ahead of steam, so he just crossed to the rail and sort of controlled the race from there. But, you know, there were a few things caught wide in the run that sort of rolled forward and sort of put pressure on him different times. And, that just makes it hard when you got that 60 kilos.
Mm. Yeah, Anthony was terrific yesterday. Anthony, this time last year, he was stakes placed at Flemington during the Cup Carnival, and he had a big sort of boom on him at the time. We didn't see the horse in the autumn. What was his issue early this year?
Yeah, no, still immature, still forming. I mean, the horse that we're looking at now is probably, a third heavier than the one that we had in the spring last year and again in the autumn. And so the growth plates are still open, and those things in their fetlocks and knees and things are still active. And, when you put the pressure of work on them, sometimes it's not always the right thing to do. So, the issues weren't huge, but they had the potential to be career-threatening with a horse with his pedigree. There's a chance that he's going to be around as a 4 or 5 year old over ground. So to make that happen, you've got to bite the bullet early, give him the time for all that stuff to run its course, so they can cope with the pressure of training.
2,000 metres yesterday. I think the plan is Villiers over the 1,600 metres. What's going to happen in between, Anthony?
This stage plan is to go to an 1,800 in a couple of weeks back at Rose Hill again.
Mm.
The speed of those longer races is a bit of a challenge for him still. I think once he gets back to a mile and sort of relaxes more, because you know, hopefully he comes out of this at that sort of 1,800 to 2,000 metre speed, but he'll have a better turn of foot, having being in a field, relaxed, and then have a better turn of foot at the finish. And we did see that when he raced over in the Kensington. You know, he sort of raced right away from him that day.
And, Anthony, they say it takes a strong 2,000-metre horse to win these big Randwick miles. And is that in the back of your mind, read the preparation for Sky Boy heading towards the Villiers?
Yeah, absolutely. It's certainly, the right way for it to go. So a way of seasoning him for that.
Hey, Anthony, congratulations on that win yesterday. Got a very impressive four-year-old on your hands there with Sky Boy. One for the listeners to follow, as you mentioned, that race in a couple of weeks at Rose Hill, and then, of course, for the Villiers in mid-December. Appreciate your time this morning.
Okay, thank you.
Anthony Cummings there, co-trainer with his son Edward of Sky Boy, won the Australian Turf Club over 2,000 metres yesterday out there at Rose Hill. These returns, they keep coming in. Great return. Bob O'Reilly returned to Parramatta and won the premiership in 1981.
That's right.
Fantastic.
Biggest hands, the great man, Bob O'Reilly.
Your man.
This one's on Twitter. I love this one. This is from Sparty Von Lenny. I once had 6 library books that were overdue for 4 months. The intestinal fortitude required to take on Gladys the Angry Librarian was breathtaking. That is a return for the ages.
Well done. Great courage, Sparty.
Gladys the Angry Librarian.
Have you ever met a librarian that's not angry?
Good point.
Any chance they could smile? 1353 50. I'm not talking about everyone at Caringbah.
You can't breathe in a library. Don't talk.
Whenever I think librarian, I just think, shh.
Exactly.
1353 53, the open line number. Let's go to a caller there. Bill's on the line. G'day, Bill.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Really well, mate.
Morning, Bill.
Yeah, the one I wanted to toss up in relation to returns was Michael Jordan and the Chicago Bulls. Took a year off to go play baseball, came back and won 3 more titles.
That's right. Won 3 in a row, didn't he, Bill, when he came back after that little baseball flirtation, Jim?
I watched a movie the other day, Bill, you'd love this one. Jordan Rides the Bus. It's a 30 for 30 ESPN doco.
Yeah.
Have you seen it?
I haven't seen that one, but the series is great.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. Well, this was about his time with the Birmingham Barons, and he played with them. You know what? By the end of his baseball career, he was actually hitting the ball nicely. He was hitting home runs. He was batting at 250, which is not too bad.
Respectable.
Exactly. He was batting at 250, and then they had the lockout. Remember they had the big... They say without the lockout, he was a massive chance to get a start in Major League Baseball. So that's how close he came to being one of these dual code superstars.
Yep.
Yeah. Great nomination, Bill.
Yeah.
Actually, you know what? Double asterisking that one. There you go. Good on you, Bill. We've got a prize to give away too. I'm not sure what it is, but we'll give something away. Hey, Ray, the next person you're going to hear is your wife. That's right. Time for the scratchings around New South Wales. We say good morning to Tanya.
Good morning, everyone. Racing in New South Wales today is at Warren and Armidale. We'll start with Warren. The weather is fine. The track is soft 5. The rail is true. And there are 9 scratchings. Race 1, takeout number 4, Concours, and 7, Match Fox, 4 and 7. Race 2, number 2, Carmel Bay, number 2. Race 3 is clear. Race 4, takeout 14, Raheem Lady. 16, Hey Billy Boy. 17, Sapience. And 18, Star of Suzu. 14, 16, 17 and 18. Race 5 is clear. Race 6, number 8, Lucky Elixir, number 8. And race 7, takeout 5, Tropicana Lass, number 5 from race 7 at Warren. Armidale, the weather is fine. The track a good 4, the rail true. And just the 4 scratchings. Race 1, takeout 9, Go Lassie Go, number 9. Race 2 is clear. Race 3, number 8, Adam Will Do. And 10, Exit Only, 8 and 10. Race 4, takeout number 4, Cinema Paradiso, number 4. And races 5, 6 and 7 at Armidale are clear. Raimondo.
Thanks, Tam. Tips today, Warren, race 2, number 6, Duntroon Man. Race 2, number 6, Duntroon Man. On to Armidale James. Race 7, number 2, Petra Jewel.
All right, all these returns. Thank you, Raymond. We'll put them across social media as well. All these returns coming through. Best returns, George Foreman, Dennis Lilly and Brett Lee, the Greyhound. Happy days. That's from Bowie. Good on you there. And this one, you'll appreciate this one, Raymond. The return of Graham Langlands to the field for round one of the 1976 season versus South at Redfern. He scored a try in the process after a disastrous end to the 75 season when at age 35 most supporters thought he should retire. That's Eddie from Glenfield.
Did he retire halfway through that year? Because I think I saw him play at Penrith Park and I don't think he played much longer into that season, Jim.
He certainly played about half the number of games of the season proper. I think he played about eight or nine games in 76. We'll get confirmation of that during the course of the break. Very shortly, we'll get to that break. Final one before we go. Good morning, boys. When D. Beedman quit racing to become a man of the cloth, Bart Cummings suggested he get a second opinion. His return was one of the great ones, and Bart was right again. Greg from Petersham, PS, loved the show. Good on you, Greg. No problem. Yeah, that is a good nomination as well. Zorba. He said goodbye after 50 years to the Manly Rugby League Football Club on Friday. He won't say goodbye to us, we don't think. He's going to have him on a Sunday morning. We'll also have a chat with Anthony Friedman. We've got the Event Cinemas quiz, plus the Mystery Voice Comp teaser as well. All that coming up in the next hour on the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
I'm Sarah Woomby. Labor has plans for a $160 million national plebiscite on the issue of Australia becoming a republic in its first term of government. Fairfax Media reports opposition leader Bill Shorten has approved the funding plan for a public ballot, not a postal vote, in Parliament's next term. Last month, an independent survey of 1,000 Australians commissioned by the Australian Republic Movement found 52.4% want a republic. Newly elected New South Wales Labor leader Michael Daly has begun pitching himself as the next Premier, with his first public comments as opposition leader addressing voters ahead of the March election. The Maroubra MP was promoted to the top position yesterday, receiving 33 of 45 votes in a caucus meeting after Luke Foley resigned amid sexual harassment allegations. Mr. Daly beat out contender Chris Minns, who claimed 12 votes, while Penny Sharp was the only nominee for deputy leader and was picked to replace Mr. Daly, who previously held the deputy position. Mr. Daly says he plans to win the next state election. The
Labor Party stands as a united team, ready to govern. We're full of fighting spirit. We're hungry. We will win the election in March of 2019.
A man has been hit and killed by a vehicle on Queensland's Sunshine Coast. Police were called to the Yamundi-Noosa Road at Noosa just after 11 last night after reports a man had been struck by a four-wheel drive. He died at the scene. The forensic crash unit is investigating. A new Anglican bishop has been elected for the Canberra-Goulburn Diocese. The Anglican Church announced yesterday that Reverend Dr. Mark Short was chosen as the 11th bishop by a two-day gathering in Goulburn in New South Wales. The new bishop, who is married with two children, currently serves as the national director of the Bush Church Aid Society and previously worked as the rector of Turvey Park and archdeacon of Wagga Wagga. Also in news, police have shot and killed a man in a southeast Queensland hospital. And today marks the 100th anniversary of the armistice which ended the First World War. In the US, Florida is set to recount ballots in two key races still undecided from the 2018 midterm elections. At least 15 races remain undecided days after the polls closed, with US President Donald Trump tweeting about fraud. Our US correspondent Priscilla Huff reports.
The 2018 U.S. midterm elections are still not over. Florida is automatically recounting the ballots in the governor's race and the race to fill one of the two U.S. Senate seats. Because out of more than 8 million votes cast, the margin of victory is less than half a percentage point. President Trump again tweeted that the Democrats are trying to steal elections, and he's watching very closely. Races remain undecided in Arizona, as well as the Georgia governor's race, and 11 seats in the U.S. House of Representatives. Priscilla Huff, Washington.
And President Donald Trump has blamed the wildfires currently burning in Northern and Southern California on forest mismanagement and threatened to withdraw related federal funding. This is Air News. The Sydney Kings have boosted their NBL Finals prospects and smashed a long-standing hoodoo with a 93-81 away win over the Adelaide 36ers. Adelaide-born Brad Newley, former Sixer Jerome Randall and Kevin Lichtstad yesterday afternoon as third-placed Sydney snapped an 11-match losing streak against Adelaide. It was their first win in 1,094 days in Adelaide. Brisbane Roar coach John Aloisius hailed the fighting qualities of his side after they fought back from a disastrous start to secure a 2-2 A-League draw against Western Sydney Wanderers in Mudgee. Two goals in the first 17 minutes to Spaniard Oriol Riera last night put the Wanderers in pole position. Aloisius says despite poor play at the beginning, the players made a good comeback.
We found our way back into the game, and then I thought that we start to play some really good stuff and control the game, especially second half. We were finding that we were able to control our midfield, and then we started to push for it.
And David Warner has laughed off suggestions he has fallen out with Steve Smith, saying the suspended pair often joke about talk that they don't get along. The pair were cheered all day yesterday, both with the bat and in the field. Warner scored 13 and Smith hit 48 and took a wicket in Sutherland's last over win. Warner also confirmed he would play in Cricket Australia's 2020 National Championships in March in Adelaide with his Northern Territory City Cyclones. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you'll have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Pinot Grigio by De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
The MacArthur Automotive three-day sale is on this weekend with great deals across 11 brands in Narellan and Campbelltown. Details at MacArthurAutomotive.com.au, MD5411. In Fivesog, Queens Road is closed at the moment at Great North Road after a major crash. Use an alternative route. In Pimble, we've got a breakdown southbound on Ride Road at Minamurra Avenue. And in Newtown, roads around the Campbelltown Memorial Rest Park are closed to the festival on today. Make entertaining these holidays even better with King Living. The King for Christmas sale is on now. For pre-Christmas delivery and up to 50% off selected furniture designs, visit King Living today. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Guys and gals, grab your partner, your family or your friends and head out to Camden Way to K-Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athlete. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics and lots more. Thrills, spills and non-stop rodeo action, November 8 to 18. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Mostly sunny, light winds becoming easterly, 15 to 20 k's early in the afternoon, heading for a top temperature of 25 degrees, 0% chance of any rain in Sydney today. James, what's the current temperature at Annandale and forecast for Armidale?
We've actually in sync today, Roma, because I actually have those two results in front of me. 16 degrees like presently, exactly. An expected top at Annandale today of 24 degrees, 16 at the moment. And for Armidale, it's going to be mostly sunny and a maximum of 23 degrees.
This is what they've got to watch out for, the speed of Australia.
And this flyer will not be pulled back. This is Isabel Kelly. And Isabel Kelly shows a clean pair of heels and streaks away downfield to score for Australia.
Hodgson puts it back, Williams skips into the hole, tosses up.
Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. A couple of Golden Boot winners right there. So Isabel Kelly and Tommy Mackinson. We'll speak to Zorba very shortly. I know he'll have his thoughts on the Golden Boot, no doubt. Mm. Anthony Friedman a little bit later on this hour as well, Raymond, and Event Cinemas quiz. Score update there in the Event Cinemas quiz, Raymond.
Is it 25-19, James?
It is. It's 25-19, mm. Raymond. And
you haven't called it yet.
No, I haven't called it yet. No, I'm not going to get ahead of myself. We'll have a tease on the mystery voice comp as well. Time now to give some results. So and that's all courtesy of Panthers, Raymond, with Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards. There's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. They'll be missing you out there, Raymond.
Can't wait for filet mignon at Osso's next week sometime, James.
For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Details at panthers.com.au or call 1300-PANTHERS. So some results overnight. We've mentioned the rugby union. 9-6, the Wallabies have been defeated by Wales, and we're getting some negative feedback about the nature of the game too from some of the listeners on SMS. England led 15-0, defeated by the All Blacks 16-15. That was in Twickenham. Western Sydney Wanderers 2-2 with Brisbane. That was up at Mudgee as well. And in the women's international out at Penrith, Chile. A lot of people saying, well, hang on, isn't it Chile? You don't order Chile on your food. Well, it's Chile. Chile 3, Matildas 2, and they should have won 8-3, the Matildas. But anyway, we'll get a chat with we'll have a chat with Phil Moss about that a little bit later on in the program. Our talk topic today, Raymond, the returns.
The returns.
Here's a couple coming in. Hi, guys. Wendell's return after 2 years out was successful and showed the character. He didn't use any excuse and just took responsibility and got on with it. Junkyard Dog. I think you're exactly
good
right.
One. Yeah, Junkyard good one. Dog. Junkyard Dog.
And this one's an interesting one. Ray, I need a cap and some CDs. The best return I've seen is Roger Federer's. That's just from H. So he's looking to tug at your heartstrings here, Raymond.
Cap and CDs. Have we got any to give away, though?
We've got some caps to give away, a CD. No, no caps.
Winx,
we've got some CDs.
Winx book?
No, I don't think... They've all been taken.
Book left, they're gone? Okay.
They've gone. I'll tell you who else
we'll find
gone.
Something.
Yeah. After 50 years involved in the Manly Football Club, whether it be as a player, administrator, board member, consultant, whichever way you look at it, I think it was on Friday afternoon, and they said goodbye. But not everyone turned up. Let's find out how Zorb's feeling about that. It's widely reported today. He's on the line now. G'day, Zorb.
Good morning, boys. And listen, morning, Marco Pete. Polo, when you played Marco Polo as a kid in the pool, if you yelled out Chile, you'd be in real trouble. No one would have known anything. It was Chile.
But the funny thing about that, Zorb, is that over the course of the last week, I've been playing Marco Polo in the pool with the kids. It's a great
hit.
Well, you yell out Chile, and they'll say you've lost it, Dad.
Very good. Now,
look, it was a great day on Friday. Let me put a few things straight.
Okay.
The club weren't invited. It was just a few media mates and a couple of my old football mates like Bozo and Max Krilich and Desi Hasler and a few others like that. But it's certainly I'm somewhat embarrassed by the fact that it's even, you know, out there. The club weren't invited. I don't have an issue with the club. I certainly don't have any issues with my nephew Scott. It wasn't a function for the club. It was just my old journo mates. A lot of them were there from a long time ago that have been close to me that I've sort of nurtured in their careers. Like Bulldog Richie was my copy boy. Dean, other people there were. Danny Widler was my producer for a while when I was doing afternoon shows.
Yeah.
Things like that. So, it wasn't the 2008 premiership that was snubbed this year. It was the 1978 one, the 40-year reunion. You know, I didn't seek or ask for or want any official farewell. It's not my idea of fun. I don't go for that sort of club. The club's bigger than anyone, and there's no issue there.
Well, Pete, walking back or looking back over 50 extraordinary years, probably an unfair question, but is there a highlight or two that it stays with you to this day?
Oh, obviously, my 1973 premiership with a great group of guys, that was special and will never be surpassed. But I've had great times too, watching the club rebuild under Des Hasler to win 40-0 in 2008, and to watch Steve Menzies, an absolute wonderful man, local junior, you know, score a try in his last game in the biggest win in grand final history. That was special. Just seeing a lot of young kids that I watch come from the country come through and play in premiership teams and play for New South Wales and Australia, that sort of stuff gave me great joy. And the places it took me and the experiences, I mean, one of the highlights of Friday was a beautiful message from Ken Arthurson, the godfather, who couldn't be there, but once my dad died, he became my mentor and just a wonderful man. And I would have liked him being there on Friday, but there were reasons he couldn't be, and it was nice of him to send a message. And my mate Greg Hartley, would you believe, he's now refereeing or umpiring or whatever they do at water skiing. His grandson is just about the Australian champion for his age, and he's over in New Zealand at the New Zealand water ski titles. And my very close friend, Chief Justice Jeff Bellew, was on a double murder trial, so I can understand why he couldn't get there either. But as I said, it was a good day, just a few drinks and probably a bit too many for me, but no issues with the club, as I said.
Okay, all right, great to have that clarification, Zorb. Just out of interest, the players and the hundreds and hundreds of players that you've seen come through the club over the course of that time, who was the one that you admired the most? You know, it would have been some great players and like watching them and great mates, but who was the one that you thought, gee, they put in so much work, they deserved what the success they had?
Well, it's probably the bloke that didn't put in much work was Cliffy Lyons. and like, he was a smoker.
Yes.
Heavy smoker.
Yes.
Half time he'd have a smoke.
Yes.
But he just played off instinct. I remember his coach Bob Fulton telling me a million times he wouldn't give him a match plan because he wouldn't stick to it.
Yeah.
And he just played off the cuff. Whether he could do that in today's structured game is probably a question we probably couldn't answer. He was just a freakish player that could do things that other players couldn't do. But Malcolm, really, I don't think I've seen a tougher, more skillful player, a player that had both skill and toughness than Malcolm, really.
Mm.
Best player, Zorb, that you've seen or played with?
Best player I played with was Bozo, no doubt, immortal.
Yeah.
And probably because he's been one of my closest mates all my life, I'm probably a bit biased there, but players that I played against, I'll never forget playing against Johnny Raper or the toughness of Kevin Ryan, you know, those sort of players that I played against in that era when South Sydney and St George were dominant was always a tough ask. I mean,
yeah,
you play South Sydney and if you're in reserve grade, you're still playing 5 and 6 international.
Brisbane
Oval was a tough place to win.
Yeah, definitely. All right, Tommy Mackinson is the Golden Boot winner for 2018. Now, we know there's been a change of the way it's done, but, this is disappointing, Zorb.
Well, it is, but what's more disappointing to me is the fact that a lot of people that earn their money in the media hadn't heard of Tommy Mackinson. I mean, he's a brilliant player. And he's been out injured and came back this year, was off the bench in that test match in Denver, and then three tries against somebody like Rapana is a terrific effort, and he was just brilliant in that win last weekend in Liverpool. Look, I don't like the idea of the Golden Boot, what they've got it now. It should be the best player in the world.
Yep.
in that 12-month period, but they've changed the rules, and I don't know why. I don't even know who puts it on. But I think what it does point out, and I think here, old KG Wayne Bennett, he's improved England.
Yes.
Let's not make any mistake about that. And why he's improved them is that he's got players in his side now that are playing NRL football week in, week out, like Hodgson and Whitehead and Burgess boys. And Whitehead was outstanding, and so was Hodgson in the win over New Zealand. And other players now will want to come to Australia. It's no longer the great unknown in the NRL. And, of course, James Graham is playing here. But we look at James Graham on the other side of the coin. I reckon Test football's killing off his career early. He was not very prominent in this game last week, and I'm looking forward to seeing the game at Ellen Road early tomorrow morning and see how he goes, because he's not making the inroads that he did, and playing international football, I think, is shortening his career at the Dragons now. He was ineffective in his debut as captain for his country in Liverpool last week. I mean, there's a front rower there called Luke Thompson. He's 23 from St Helens.
How good's he go?
How good does he go? He's a big, strong thing.
Oh.
The centre, Jake Connor, he could come here and play. They're going good. Well, look, I agree. Tommy Makinson, shock winner, but we're going to hear a lot more about him, and I hope he comes here to play. He's an excitement machine. He's not young, though. I think he's 28 or 26.
We'll wait and see. Hey, so back home, is there a club for Jared Hayne?
Well, I think the way he ended up playing at the end of the year, yes, there is. But we saw him be so ineffective at the Titans when he returned, and only this season gone by, it was only the last, 6 weeks, because he knew his contract was up, that he looked like that he was going to do anything. And he, I don't know. I don't think I would be taking the punt with him.
No, but
you value for money, yeah, that's the key.
But I would argue that Parramatta should take the punt with him at the right price, and that price couldn't be much more than $500,000. And the thing is, it'll be done at Parramatta. They just need to free up some space.
Yeah, I looking at that, I see the Bulldogs jumped in and said they were interested this week. I'm a bit worried about that. That new board at the Bulldogs,
yeah,
is starting to want to say, obviously, in the purchasing of players that come to the club. And it seems they're now could be instructing the club on which players to chase, and I think that's a terribly dangerous trend. Dean Pay's been given the job as head coach. Let him do it, and let him have the opportunity to do it. They gave him the opportunity. They've got to give him that chance to put his mark on the club, and he should be the one that is picking the type of player that they want to get. I'd be a little bit worried if I was a Canterbury supporter and that new board is starting to want to pick players that come to the clubs. And talking about fullbacks, Dallin Watini-Zelezniak, he's been brilliant in this series over in England. They've lost the two games. He's come of age with the captaincy. I know he's only won one from three, but I think there's a future for him with the captaincy. He's in brilliant form at fullback. He's articulate and calm off the field, and he's explosive on it. He's been their best player by 100 miles over there.
He doesn't pass.
No, he doesn't pass, but I, the way he runs the ball back, you've got to stop him. And he's a different sort of fullback. You know who he reminds me of? Graham Eady, the great
Graham
fullback.
Eady, I was going to say that.
Strong runner.
Just strong, hard here. Hey, Zorba, on Penrith then, so to speak, Ivan Cleary's come out and basically given his version of why he switched from the Tigers back to the Panthers, and effectively he thinks he's got some unfinished business at Penrith.
Yeah, well, he obviously has had a look at the rosters too. I'd have some unfinished business too if I was between the West Tigers and the Penrith Panthers. I mean, he's going to be under a lot of pressure because that's a side that should be top four, and they expect it. They've got the wherewithal to do it, and it's going to be interesting to see how Ivan gets on with his old boss.
That will be fascinating. My final question before we let you go. On Friday, when he came to the Skiff Club, did Dez buy his own schooner?
Would you believe it? He pulled. When someone said, Dez will have all of the top shelf, he went to his pocket and pulled out $1.95. Would you believe that my darling wife, Cassie, picked us up, and we dropped Dez home because he didn't have enough money for a cab fare.
He's the best.
So nothing's changed with Dez. I mean, he's still got his play lunch money and his busker money from when he used to catch the train from Penrith to Circular Quay and sing free supper.
He'll be doing that next year with the Sea Eagles 2019. Hey, Zorb, great to have you on this program. No hint of retirement here, and we'll look forward to chatting next Sunday.
Okay.
Oh, actually, just on that, mate, $2 England, $1.80 New Zealand.
Yeah, England's got the wood on them. I'll definitely go with the Poms at Ellen Road to make it a clean sweep.
All right, there you go. $2 for England for Zorb on that one. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak next week.
See you, boys.
There he is, Peter Peters. We'll take your thoughts on that. 1353 53, the open line number. A break and then back with more.
Thinking about your next build or renovation? Wideline Windows and Doors has all the planning tools at your fingertips. Their website is full of inspirational ideas to make your project a success. Advice and tips to get you started, even a colour selector and window planning tool. Plus, free online quotes are returned in 48 business hours. Just upload your plans or tell them what you need. Easy. There's never been a better time to take a closer look at the Wideline Windows and Doors website. www.wideline.com.au.
Guys and gals, grab your partner, your family or your friends and head out to Camden Way to K-Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athlete. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics and lots more. Thrills, spills and non-stop rodeo action, November 8 to 18. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au.
Raymond, be rewarded at Panthers. With Panthers' new loyalty program, Panthers Rewards, there's never been a better time to be a member of the Panthers family. For only $5, members receive over $1,000 worth of rewards. Earn Panthers points every time you make a purchase and redeem your points throughout the club, including at all restaurants and bars. If you're not already a Panthers member, join now for just $5 and be rewarded. If you are a member already, Raymond,
renew now.
Spot on. Details at panthers.com.au.
Here comes Cross Counter. Cross Counter coming at Marbello. Cross Counter's flying. The Blue Army have done it at last. Cross Counter has won the Melbourne Cup from Marbello, a Prince of Aaron Finch.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Welcome back to the program. Just trying to establish a line there with our next guest. Before we get to that, Matty Hill. I was talking to Joel Kane during the course of the week, Raymond, about just how good Matty Hill is. Of course, we really appreciate his call. His second Melbourne Cup that he called. And he's so smooth with everything he does. He never trips over a word. He found Cross Counter. There was great vision on Twitter of him calling the race. Had to jump up to the binoculars, found Cross Counter, got it right in the call. The Blue Army has done it at last. But during the course of the call, there was a time there where he struggled to find the name of a horse, except you wouldn't know about it until you listened carefully to his call. And I threw that challenge down to you on Friday. How you go with that?
Yeah, I haven't had a chance to do it yet, Jim. But what are you saying? He bought some time whilst he tried to work out which horse he was. You couldn't call, is that what you're
saying? Spot on. Yeah. You would never, like, listening to it in the run, you have to go back and listen to it again and listen to it again, and then you go, couldn't quite find out who that horse was. But he bought himself time magnificently. Yeah. 4.5 seconds was all he needed, and he did it superbly.
No, we are blessed with calls, aren't we? He and Darren Flindell are just so good to listen to, and they get it right so often. I was talking to Matty yesterday. He said to say hello to Tan too, by the way, but he's already looking forward to the Olympics and covering the tennis this summer. He's not just a race call. He's a very, very versatile sports broadcaster. He loves his AFL, but just that's one of the reasons he moved back to Melbourne, Jim. But he just he's tied up with the racing now and loving that.
You know, he's a former host of the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
Yes. Was he really the weekend?
Yeah, he hosted 3 or 4 shows, I think, many moons ago. Yeah, Matty.
Okay. Very versatile man. And
very, very outstanding broadcaster. Outstanding broadcaster. Chile and Chile are two very different words. Nothing wrong with pronouncing a country correctly. That's from Chile, so there you go. That's a good one. Hey, this is a good one, Raymond, and I'd forgotten about this. Boys, the greatest return for me was by Jason McCartney after being injured in the Bali bombing. Truly inspirational. From Chicken on a Chain.
Remember that, Jim? He wore the, what do you call
the
those
gloves.
Things that he covered? And on his legs as well.
Oh, burns.
Anyway, he wore them in that game. He kicked a goal or two by memory.
Yeah, I think
he was being interviewed after the game, and he announced his retirement on the spot. And I think the interviewer said, why? You've just fought your way back after all this, you know, to get back to the top level. And he said, I just wanted to prove it to myself. It wasn't going to beat me. It was extraordinary. And, that's hard to beat, Jim, that one.
That was huge. Absolutely. Mm. Great nomination there from Chicken. 1353. Returns. Wayne Bennett's return to the Broncos. Good riddance. Worst Knights coach ever. No name on that one. here we go. Let's go to the open line. Sava is there. G'day, Sava.
Hey, lads. Good morning, Senator.
The Bali bombing will be hard to beat.
Absolutely, yeah. It will.
Now, yeah. I just want to talk on a subject, and you blokes might jump up and down. But a couple of weeks ago, the Cox Plate meeting, just before the third race, a horse bolted out of the mounting yards. It was called Casino Wizard. And Noel Baster was on it, and he really battled to get his feet back into the stirrups. And without causing any big stir, I reckon that the commentator that was walking around with the horses was wearing this big, long black dress that was flashing in the sunlight. Now, if you've been around stock, you'll know that funny things spook horses especially.
Mm-hmm.
And this horse bolted. Now, what I'm saying is that maybe the stewards should look at what some people are wearing and say, now, listen, you want to be careful in those mounting yards because we don't want the horses to get stirred up. I don't know whether you saw it, but you want to bring it up and watch it. The horse just bolted out of the
mounting yards. Right, okay, Sava. Now, Raymond, you got your thoughts on this?
Yeah, well, I know where Sava's coming from. And Sava, there's a very infamous and very tragic incident, wasn't there, with Araldo coming back after the Melbourne Cup, probably about 3 years ago, Jimmy, by memory, when a person in the crowd was waving a flag. And just what Sava's saying, different things spook horses. And
yes,
that spooked Araldo at the time. And he lashed out and suffered a catastrophic leg injury, which simply was an unbelievable accident, you know. But he's right. They're little things spook horses, and
yeah. But how do you mitigate for that, Ray?
Well, you can't.
Exactly.
It's nature. It's nature.
Exactly. You're asking people to wear a different coloured dress, or I'm sorry,
very
Sava.
Difficult.
No, I don't know where you were going.
I know what he's saying, though. And I do think that race clubs and race officials take all possible caution, especially in this modern era when there's so much focus on animal welfare.
Yeah, not a great return, but intriguing. H. Bowman's return to scale after the Cup. How does that happen? That's from Scooter. That's a very good point,
Scooter.
That's
a mystery. It's a mystery. There's an appeal on Tuesday. We might hear more there, Jimmy. But
was it one or half a kilo over?
Oh, not quite 1 kilo, not quite a full kilo. I think it was 0.9 by memory.
Does a kilo equate to a length?
3,200 metres, as a lot of people would say that. I did actually put that to Huey Morrison, the trainer of Marmello, after the race.
Yes.
And he was adamant that Hugh Bowman's ride was the reason they ran second, because he did take all the shortcuts home. Cross-counter had to go out wide. But,
yeah,
you know, if you back Marmello, you're entitled to ask the question. The other thing, too, though, Jimmy, is Huey said he didn't do anything in between that period. It's a mystery. He didn't have a glass of water or anything like that. It's a mystery why he weighed out 0.4 over and weighed in basically a kilo over. We'll find out more on Tuesday at the appeal, though, no doubt.
That'll scare him, because he's a guy that struggles with his weight, doesn't he? He has to work hard to keep his weight down, and if you think you're in control of it, like he would know, he'd be able to walk around and know exactly what he weighs.
Yeah.
To get that wrong like that, that'll be a little bit of a scare. 1353 53, the open line number. Sean's on the line. G'day, Sean.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Really well,
morning,
mate.
Morning, Sean.
Mate, I'm back from the Cup week. It was fun, to say the least.
Yes.
Yeah. I don't know. Some of the guys made it back on my trip, but how they've done it, I've got no idea, but that's all good.
did you back a winner, Sean?
I did, mate. Pockets are full, right, so it's all good.
Oh, well done.
Nice.
Ah, outstanding.
What was your big win?
Sorry, mate?
What was your big win?
I backed the ring in the Cup, and we got the trifecta between about 10 of us, so it's all good.
Geez. Oh, well done.
I'm surprised you're talking even awake at the moment.
But I've got two for you.
Yeah?
Yeah.
One for you, Jimmy, been the Liverpool fan. Their comeback to win the Champions League in 2005 against Milan, that was just out of this world.
Sean, can I just clarify very quickly? I am not a Liverpool fan. It's Raymond
who's
a Liverpool fan.
Well, either way.
Yeah.
Well done, Sean. I'm with you here so far. Outstanding.
Yep. And Michael Jordan, when he went in 1993 and retired to play baseball, he'd already won three rings already.
Yep.
He came back after 2 years and won three more. That's not too bad.
Yeah. Yeah. We had him a little bit earlier, Sean, but you're spot on. And the Liverpool one, more of a comeback than a return, and given the fact it's Liverpool, we're going to discount that at this point. So you're out,
hard,
Sean,
man.
Okay? You're gone.
You're hard, man. The guy's rung up, done the right thing. You can at least play Kate and say you're in the running. You just
listen, he's had a great week. He's already got the winner of the cup and got the trifecta. He doesn't need to win here on a Sunday morning. 13:53:53 is the open line up. Rod said, Holmes scored more tries than Mackinson this year internationally. That's Rod from Nara. Morning, boys. My best return was when I returned the hire bike. My missus said would be fun to ride around Orange. So, I like when they say, I got a puncher when I jumped a gutter after a car nearly sideswiped me 150 metres from the shop. Was straight to the Hotel Canobolas for a calming schooner. Cheers, Manly Man out. So, I mean, these things can happen, Ray.
Absolutely, it could happen in many, many hours' life, that's for
yeah,
sure.
That's right.
Very interesting take on life.
That's right. Chile, how about Kieran? Karen, Australia's best jockey. Let's pronounce his name correctly. Yeah, Karen McAvoy. We got him here on a Sunday. 13:53:53, the open line number. Hey, we'll take a break, and then after that break, are we going to do the event cinemas quiz? Are you going to call? No, too early. We've gone off early. We'll have
breaking protocol, Jim. You can't do that.
Not the first time, Raymond, that I've gone off early. We'll take a break.
With 150 years of expertise, the specialist team at HQ Insurance are passionate about horses and privileged to be an integral part of the bloodstock industry. HQ Insurance, the headquarters of Equine Insurance. Find us at hqinsurance.com.au or call 8913 1640.
Dynamic Syndications, Gay and Adrian offer an awesome colt to aim at the rich English race series. By Smart Missile, champion first crop sire and now leading third crop sire. From Serenade Lily, a winning half-sister to champion three-year-old Serenade Rose. Bred to be precocious and quick, our colts are half-brother to Vocalize, winner and dual stakes performed at two. Join the Dynamic Gay and Adrian team at just $8,300 a share. Visit dynamicsyndications.com or call 1-800-619-999. AFSL 3368-08.
Fear the Dragon. Fear the Dragon. Winner of the North American Cup. Beat Huntsville 4 out of 4. Beat Down by the Seaside 4 out of 7. Limited semen available. Visit yurabee.com.au.
If you've never witnessed real rodeo action live and up close, here's your chance. I got in trouble last week. Rodeo, right? How do you pronounce it?
Rodeo.
Rodeo. Is it rodeo?
Is that the American influence in your life? Or?
Could be. Grab your partner, your family and your friends and head out, not all of them, head out to Camden away. That's K Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. This will be huge. Next Friday, the boys are broadcasting live from there. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athletes. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives. Plus, there's barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling clinics and lots more. I know that Darren Britt is going to be a special guest on Friday.
Okay.
He's a local out there, Britty, and they're also chasing up some other guests to some locals that, from Camden that have made a name for themselves in the world of sports. Thrill, spills and non-stop rodeo action, November 8 to 18, so it's underway right now. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au. That's kranch.com.au.
And up and over. Six, that is, from Meg Lanning. How good a shot is that from Australia's captain?
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
Yeah, welcome back to the program. 13:53:53 is that open line number. We're getting the callers now. The talk topic, we're trying to clarify, but it's...
Going convoluted one.
Yeah, we are going gangbusters on it, so keep the nominations coming in. We've got a prize... Not sure what it is,
what
but
it
there's a prize there, so we can look forward to that. Here's a good one before we get to Anthony Cummings. Best return
Anthony
of 2018.
Friedman.
Anthony Friedman, sorry.
Yeah.
Adrian, we've already been to Anthony Cummings, haven't we? Adrian Costa, the USA, 2 years ago was the most promising road cyclist in the world circuit. Pro teams making big offers to turn pro. He decided to take an extended break to experience and enjoy other parts of life. Sadly, just months ago, he had his right lower leg amputated in a rock climbing accident. He's already back on the bike and he's already back on a climbing wall. What a return.
Wow.
That's Jason from Windsor. So there you go. Good nomination. A little bit left field. And don't worry, we like those ones. 13:53:53, the open line number. On the line now, though, after an outstanding win. The fourth Group 1 for Santa Ana Lane would be, I'd imagine, a very happy Anthony Friedman. G'day, Anthony.
Morning.
Congratulations on the win. I thought it was interesting. Mark Zara struggling to get a run up the straight to get clear running, and I think you said to him before the event, you know, you'll win it in the last 50, and that's exactly how it played out.
Yeah, that sort of horse, he has to be ridden that way. And I said to Mark pre-race that don't panic. You know, if you're going to win the race, you will win it in the last 50 or 80 metres. And I think that worked for Mark because he said, you know, there was no stress on his behalf, and that's how it played out. So it was a great result.
Yeah, he's an outstanding horse, Anthony. That's his fourth Group 1 in 13 months. I don't think any other sprinter in the world has clocked up four Group 1s in that period. But I got a sense yesterday after the race, Anthony, you were thinking what might have been if the rains hadn't have come in Sydney for the Everest?
Yeah, I definitely think the horse was spot on for Sydney. And, you know, even if the rain had come Thursday or Friday and got into the ground, it may have been different. I think that the fact that the rain fell on the day made it pretty slippery. And he just won't react on that ground. Ben Mellum said, you know, he knew 100 metres after the start that we were out of play. He said he was slipping and sliding. And I think, you know, in hindsight, his run was very good. So we just picked up the pieces and reset our focus on yesterday.
I think one of the incredible things, we had an SMS on the program a little bit earlier, and I'm just struggling to find it acknowledge who sent it in, but was it 18 months ago that Santa Ana Lane was running for the town plate at the Wagga Carnival?
Yeah, that's correct. You know, we thought this horse had top-level ability, but he wasn't delivering for whatever reason. I think, you know, we sort of went there as a confidence-building mission. I think he started pretty good odds. And he sort of showed that day what we thought he had. And he's sort of gone from there. He's learnt how to win. And, you know, he's making it a habit now.
Yeah, Anthony, I know one of the journos asked you this yesterday, but if I could rephrase the question. You've had some wonderful sprinters over the years when you were training with Lee, etc. And where does this horse rate? Because I dare say there's very few horses who are capable of finishing with his sort of finishing speed.
Yeah, he's a different sort of sprinter. And obviously we had Scalacci and Mahogany and those horses, but they would dominate races pretty much from the front or near the front. And Miss Andretti, for that matter. And I think the fact that he has to be ridden the way he is, he's a little bit dependent on speed in races and he's dependent on luck in running. He's had good luck, has to be said, in a few of his races. Yesterday was no different. But, you know, when things are right for him and he gets the race run at a good clip, which generally happens, obviously, Group 1 level. You know, the best horses are there and they run along at a good tempo and that suits him. But, you know, look, he's four Group 1s. Hopefully there's more to come and we'll just see where we head with him now. I mean, he's one up the straight now, which we always had a few doubts about. And it opens up some options for him.
What, you know, well, let's think ahead. The six-year-old gelding, we could be looking for autumn next year. The TJ Smith, is that in the plans at the moment, Anthony? Or short-term, what's the plan?
No, he was. We had planned to go to Hong Kong with him.
Right.
The quarantine issue obviously couldn't be resolved, so we'll obviously that's off the table. He'll have a rest now. We'll have a talk about things with the crew that own him. There was talk yesterday, a lot of them would love to go to Royal Ascot, so whether that becomes our main focus for next year. If that were the case, he'd probably have a quieter autumn or a later start to his prep next year. But there's also races in Dubai, you know, that we've had contact from them already, and we'll, so there's plenty of options for him. Probably not a lot in Melbourne. He needs weight for age sprints, which Melbourne in the autumn. I think there's only one. That's the Lightning, which is 1,000 metres, which is too short for him.
Yep.
The other two are handicaps, which he's pretty much out of now. So our focus will be probably Sydney and potentially an overseas trip, we'll just see.
I think those problems are called first world problems.
Yes, Anthony, they are.
Wondering about where to run the horse. Congratulations. Outstanding effort. Brilliant run. Great ride. Excellent training performance. And I appreciate your time this morning.
No problem. Cheers.
Anthony Freeman, trainer of Santa Ana Lane. It was a high-class field, a great race too, wasn't it, Roman?
And, spectacular race, wasn't it?
Yeah. So I had the two boys there watching the race with me yesterday, and they're saying, well, okay, which one are you going for? And I'm going for this one. And I said, all right. One was on Jungle Cat. That was Austin. The other one was on Brave Smash, and I was on Red Zell. And after the what it all happened in about 38 seconds or whatever it was, and the River was saying, is that it? Is that the end of the race? They're not going around again. I said,
he
no,
got used to the Melbourne Cup, didn't he?
Exactly. I said, that's it, mate. That was a sure one, that one.
All over.
It's nearly all over in the quiz, the Event Cinemas quiz. 25-19 is the score. But you're a chance to win for Raymond today if you call now. 1353 53 is the open line. So many people, and I'm not just talking about the production room at the moment, so many people would love to see me lose this one, I'm sure, Raymond, to you.
I don't think so, no.
Call now if you'd like to be a part of the quiz. 1353 53
Living Morale, James Smith.
Guys and gals, grab your partner, your family or your friends and head out to Camden Way to K-Ranch Arena for the biggest cowboy Christmas ever. See Australia's elite bull riders battle for their 8 seconds of glory on top of the biggest, meanest one-ton athlete. Our best cowboys take the roughest ride of their lives, plus barrel racing, team roping, steer wrestling, clinics and lots more. Thrills, spills and non-stop rodeo action, November 8 to 18. Event calendar and bookings at kranch.com.au.
Punters, we bet you. You can't find a better betting app than the Tab app. With more live Sky Racing than any other app, exclusive race previews and the biggest range of race replays on offer, you have everything you need to give you the best betting experience all in the palm of your hand. Plus, enjoy access to detailed form, cutting-edge data and expert analysis from the best in the business. Download the Tab app today and stay ahead of the game. Tab. Terms and conditions apply. See tab.com.au. Gamble responsibly.
The very best of US racing 7 days a week.
Gunrunner's on top of the world! He wins the Breeders' Cup Classic!
Live and exclusive across the Sky Racing Network.
Bryson DeChambeau, yet again. Fourth win in 2018, first in his new FedEx Cup season.
On Sky Sports Radio, you're tuned to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Jimmy and Ray.
All right, the board lit up and we've got our two contestants for the Event Cinemas quiz. By the way, Ray, Bohemian Rhapsody is in cinemas at Event Cinemas George Street now. Don't miss the foot-stomping celebration of Queens. Their music
and
their extraordinary lead singer, Freddie Mercury. I can't wait to see this one. In fact, we're actually using a couple of tickets today at Event Cinemas at Miranda to go and see A Star Is Born. So you know who's won that argument. Watch it on the biggest screen in Sydney CBD. That's the VMAX with incredible Dolby Atmos sound. Get your tickets at eventcinemas.com.au. Right, Raymond, your player won, okay?
And he's, I think it's with Scott, is that right?
You're with Scotty right now.
Yeah. Scott, good morning.
How are you going?
You're under all sorts of pressure, Scott, but I'm with you, mate. Don't worry, we'll get through this. Question number one, which NBA team does Russell Westbrook play for?
Westbrook. Only watched it last week, too. Westbrook.
Stab in the dark. Is he okay?
Is that right, Jimmy? Yeah, he's
a very fashionable man.
Yeah, he had glasses on the sideline the other day, I thought.
How's it? That's a slow internet connection at your place there, Scott. yeah, thank you, Hamish. Finally, a bit of support from the production staff.
Poor guy, he's doing his best. He was thinking through it.
Are you in a regional area, Scott?
Greystone.
Greystone.
The NBA.
Yeah,
NBA,
that's pretty regional, I suppose.
Oh, well, it was
we'll just say the Clippers.
Okay. It was Oklahoma, so that's okay. We'll get back on track here, Scott. Question number two. What is the main colour of Manchester City's 2018 away jersey? Now, it's A, dark blue, B, gold, or C, peach?
We'll say peach.
It's dark blue. It's distinct from this. Sky blue, Jim, is that noise?
Yes.
Sky blue?
Yeah. Man City.
Okay, here we go, Scotty. Question number three. In which city is the San Siro Stadium? A, is it Barcelona? B, Milan? Or C, Porto?
Barcelona.
We better wipe out, Scotty. But we're not out of the game just yet. We pretty much are. Over to you, James.
You better tell them, yeah, that's in Milan, the San Siro.
That lady's singing, is it?
Yeah,
that
no, well, hang singing. On. Just let's not get ahead of ourselves. Irene's on the line. G'day, Irene.
Hey, how are you?
I'm really well.
Morning, Irene.
I'm really looking forward to you playing well today, Irene. Question one. By the way, you just need one to win. All right?
Okay.
Which Super Rugby team does David Pocock play for?
Queensland Red?
No, he plays for the Brumbies. All right. Question two, Irene. Just to have to admit, I've lost a little bit of confidence there. I thought that was an easier one than
pressure,
the one
Irene. No pressure, Irene.
Here we go.
Okay.
Here we go, Irene. Question two. What is the main colour of Adelaide United's away jersey? Is it A, dark blue, B, light green, or C, white?
Can I ask you?
No, you. As much as I would like that to happen, Irene, no, unfortunately.
I'll guess white.
Irene, you are a superstar.
That's all she wrote.
When a champion becomes a legend.
Hey, Irene, you just won James three cartons. you've got to give Irene something, James. Surely.
You've won my admiration, I tell you what, Irene. don't worry, we'll be sending you out a double pass courtesy of Event Centre. We might make
awesome.
Can we make it a gold pass for Irene?
That would be awesome. My husband's never been a gold class.
There you go.
Oh, you know what they say, Irene? Once you go gold class, you can never go back.
Who do you usually take to gold class, Irene? Oh, sorry, dangerous territory.
Absolutely, James, move on.
Irene, you stay on the line. We'll send you out a gold double pass. We'll get it.
Thank you so much.
Prakash will send it to us. He's been listening into the program, Prakash, and the team at Event Cinemas at George Street. We'll send you out a double pass. I mean, it's fitting, Raymond, because it's a match winning.
It is. Yeah,
it's a game sealing performance there from Irene.
All the pressure after that first question, handle it with aplomb, James.
All the pressure as well, because I tell you what.
You were saying
I lost confidence, Raymond.
Yeah, you did.
I'm not going to lie to anyone. I lost confidence.
So what do I have to buy you, James? Seriously, three cartons. And your preferred drop is?
We'll work on that one, but this is what this is what we get. Gentlemen, if Jimmy wins the quiz today, will that be it for the year? Or will the torture continue for another 5 weeks?
Is that Dave from Wattlegrove?
That's Doremus. So, Doremus, I've got a feeling that it's going to continue. Great returns. Ray to the bottle shop. That's from Scooter. That Scooter could go very close to winning today. Very, very good. All right, call us there, Raymond. Call us there.
Okay.
Let's go back to the open line. 1353 is that number. Gary is on the line. G'day, Gary.
G'day, Jimmy. How are you, mate?
Very well, mate. What do you got for us today, Gaz?
I heard you talking about Huey Bowman being overweight after the Melbourne Cup ride.
Yes.
And during the week, Bensley was talking to Blake Shin, and he posed that question to him, how would this happen?
Mm.
And Blake Shin said, well, sometimes the lining under the saddle is a bit thicker and a bit more spongy, and it's quite possible that, you know, after running 2 miles, there's quite a bit of sweat that gets absorbed in the saddle cloth. And that, given that Chewy was also a little bit overweight anyway, but he was under that 0.5 a kilo limit of being overweight before the ride. It's quite possible he could have got another 400-450 just out of sweat from the horse into the saddle crop.
It's a good point.
Okay.
And actually,
interesting.
He used that as a possible explanation because it defies logic to think someone can go out one weight, not have any intake, and come back a different weight, actually heavier, not lighter.
It's a good point. But actually, Huey actually did. Huey actually did use that originally as a reason potentially that he came in overweight, and that was a sweat on what they call the chamois of the saddle, Jimmy.
Right.
But he then told stewards during the inquiry he wanted to withdraw that as a valid reason, so he's actually took that off the table. But I understand we've got an SMS from one of the listeners who said on Channel 7 yesterday, Huey may have admitted he had a glass of water in between the races weighing for the cup, is
now,
that right?
Brett from Broadbeach, who is always a strong contributor to the program, a voice of reason, said, Ray, Huey was on Channel 7 yesterday and he said they weighed out 50 minutes before jump time and he drank a bottle of water during that period.
Now, they're so finely tuned, Jimmy, that's probably the answer.
Well,
that's probably where the extra 0.4s come from.
What size bottle? See, that's important too.
Absolutely, yeah. Well, obviously, it's added 0.4 or 0.5 to that, to his weight. So, and he hasn't sweated it out during the cup. So that is probably the reason.
So there you go.
Yeah.
And that will come up in, you're saying, on Tuesday.
There's an appeal on Tuesday.
There'll be an appeal against
the severity. So obviously, Huey's admitting he's weighed back in overweight.
Yes.
But he's obviously appealing the severity because it's potentially costing him some huge rides overseas.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a Japan Cup. He was on the second favourite there. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Got Werther coming up in Hong Kong in a couple of weeks. So there you go. So that's interesting. I hadn't heard that until the SMS came through from Brett that Huey had said that on Channel 7 coverage yesterday.
And obviously you were working yesterday, so it wouldn't have been across everything that was said on Channel 7. 1353 53, the open line number. Now, this is an interesting one. Morning, Jimmy and Ray. It's sad to see the Cliffs of Moher break down in the cup. My grandfather trained as a vet before going to Gallipoli and being shot through the jaw and neck. Sadly, Pop never got to work professionally as a vet, although he did manage to nurse a horse through a broken leg. Pop made up a harness for the horse and strung him up in his shed. After the horse recovered, he followed Pop around wherever he went. Have a great Armistice Day. Cheers from Mark.
Yeah, that's a great memory.
Good on you, Mark. Yeah, that's a strong family memory there.
Yeah, if you don't mind, you might. I dare say, I don't think I'm saying anything that's untoward here. Racing has got a bit of an image problem after the Melbourne Cup, but there's a few things that should be pointed out. One, a lot of focus has been made on the internationals and whether they're properly vetted, etc. I spoke to Jamie Steer yesterday. I'm writing a column in the Telegraph tomorrow about this. Jamie said every international horse that comes down to Australia is independently vetted before they leave their country of origin, not from their stable vet, it's an independent veterinary examination. Then they arrive at Werribee. There's independent vets there every day monitoring the horses as well as their stable vets. They are very, very well taken care of. In the Melbourne Cup itself, there's a car that follows a field with a veterinarian on board. That veterinarian was there attending to Cliffs of Moher within seconds of that horse breaking down. Now, as tragic and as awful as it was, the racing industry does have a lot of care of their horses and how they're treated. There's a lot of emphasis on why so many of these internationals have broken down. I just think it's an unfortunate and tragic coincidence because this is my 25th Cup, Jimmy, and in the first 20 years there was only one breakdown of fatality. There's been four or five of them in recent years, which is awfully sad, but gee, all these reviews and inquiries that are going to go into it, it's just going to come back to a very, very unfortunate set of circumstances.
Most definitely. 1353 53, the open line number. We've got our mystery voice comp coming up after the break. Here's a little teaser on that. Now, remember, you get four tickets, for you and three of your friends to go to Villiers Day at Royal Ramwick in the Grandview Room. It's a great prize. All courtesy of the ATC, by the way. So thank you, James Heddo and Tracy White out there at the ATC. Four people going out there. It's food, drink, race book, parking. Probably don't know that if you've got the drink. And it'll be a fantastic day. So here's a little tease on the mystery voice.
I was 72 kilos. Nah, it didn't matter. But I marked a guy 15 and a half stone.
There you go. Raymond, if you've got any ideas on that, please don't share them with the listeners at this point. So there you go.
First I've heard of that one.
Yes, yes. Once you know who it is, you understand why that wasn't a problem for that person. Okay. 1353 53, the open line number. We've got callers there. We're going to go straight back to them now. Rod is on the line. G'day, Rod.
You going, guys? All right?
Yeah, good, mate.
Morning, Rod.
Morning, Ray. How are you, mate? I've got the winner of the cup. Beautiful.
Well done,
well
Rodney.
Done, Rodney. Well done.
Don't call me Rodney. Only mum called me that.
And that's when you're in trouble, which I'd imagine was a lot, Rod.
You name it too well, Jimmy. A little cheeky half-stack, mate, because I was in trouble.
There you go. There you go.
Anyway, memorable return. I don't know if it's a good one, but it's a memorable one for me. When the mighty sludge Steve Rogers come back and played for the Sharks his first game at Belmore when Mark Budkin smashed his jaw into about a million pieces.
Was that his first game back at the Sharks, was it?
Yep. Jack Sisson was first year coaching. He got sludge back to play for the Sharks and we're all anticipating first game, whack. Saturday afternoon at Belmore, I remember at 3 o'clock, I was there.
Now, I got a feeling that Mark Budkin was, there was a civil suit around
there. Yeah, there was. So I've got some money out of it, yeah. But anyway, that's my memorable return.
Hey, it's a good one.
Wasn't a great one, but definitely memorable. Memorable with Steve Rogers anyway.
What a player he was, guys.
You know, there's a lot of people who say to me, I didn't see much of Steve Rogers play apart from the highlights. A lot of people who say he should be considered as an immortal. He should be considered as an immortal.
One of the most naturally brilliant players, Jim. Yeah. He was a great player. One of those guys that you'd walk over broken glass to watch, you know.
Tony's on the line. G'day, Tony.
G'day, boys. Listen, I've brought this up before, but the greatest return, and there is a reason why I mentioned this, is definitely Tullock. He never raced as a